Okay.
So I guess we'll start with the white elephants.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole, why did you buy that piece of crap?
All right. Do you have something in particular that you have in mind or that you bought? Is that why you're bringing this up?
Oh, I do things like this pretty frequently. If it's something cheap and small, it's not really a white elephant. It has to be a big ticket item.
Okay. Well, so what's your most glaring one then?
I don't know. Various guitars and amplifiers that I've had over the years, I think.
I
don't even know if I could start with one. My Fender Twin, since it's right here. It's big, it weighs a ton, and it's impossibly clean up to really high volumes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much useless to use for, like, rock and roll.
Then why do you still have it?
They're hard to sell for the same reasons. I mean, it is not a gigging amp. Like, I saw, and I even did this, a guy had a 4x12 Marshall half stack, and I had the Fender Twin. You couldn't hear that fucking Marshall.
Yeah.
It was all, and it was, the Marshall was fully distorted, and the Fender was totally still fairly clean.
Yeah. So that's your biggest one?
Yeah. It's not that expensive, but it's, I think I paid 500, maybe 400 bucks for it, but that was a long time ago. They've really shot up in value if you can find somebody that wants one. But almost everybody that buys one ends up going back to a Fender Deluxe or something. It's just so much more manageable.
Yeah. I couldn't say like off the top of my head if I have had something like that. I mean, it'd be smaller things. I mean, what I think about, like, when I think back about it, like I bought a Sega Genesis, like, when it practically came out, and I'm not sure why I ever did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of nice at the time, but I think that was like $300 too.
Yeah. I know I got mine later, I think quite a bit later than you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you still never loaned me any games.
I don't remember. Do you remember how much like new games were for that thing?
They were expensive. I think they were like $50 if you bought like one of the top tier games. I know even NES games were that expensive.
Yeah.
But that would only be like, it would come out like in November and it'd be that price all through Christmas. And then it'd be 40. By the time I got around to buying it, it'd be like 20, you know, they didn't stay expensive for long.
Yeah. And now you can buy like the Sega Genesis console that comes with like all those games for like $80 or something.
Yeah.
I guess if you really want that.
Yeah. I bought the one disc for my PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So. And I had all these games, but no Game Genie support. What the hell was the point of having a game console without a Game Genie?
Yeah. Good old Game Genies.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't like games that are difficult. There has to be some challenge there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is fun making yourself totally invincible for a couple levels, but you get bored with it. I really usually just gave myself infinite lives.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of so that I didn't have to sit there and keep... You know, when you use a continue, it puts you back at the start of the stage. Whereas if you have infinite lives, you can start like at the last checkpoint.
Yeah.
Just made it more convenient, not necessarily easier.
Yeah, you're right though, because when you do play on those modes, it gets, I mean, after a while, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because there is no challenge to it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and it's certainly awesome getting revenge on, like, the Toadstool Kingdom.
I can't take it anymore, what you've been doing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, that's fun, but I always went back to, like, just making the game a little easier.
Yeah.
Or something like Life Force on the NES. You can keep your guns when you die.
Yeah. So
there's some of those games, like, if you die, you lose all your guns. And if you lose all your guns, you can't defeat the next boss. You might as well just reset the game. So I could never stand... I hated that, so I'd always... use the keep your guns cheat.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually never owned a Game Genie.
Yeah.
I never bought one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
I had one for the NES and for the Genesis. And then I got the Amiga.
Yeah, everyone was clamoring for the Amiga.
Mm-hmm. You had one. Yeah, are there any things out there that you want, but even if you had the money, you wouldn't buy because it is such a white elephant?
I don't know. If they were large ticket items, I would probably say it. There would probably be certain cars,
yeah. I would say. Yeah.
Because I know it's, you know, like being able to get them and, you know, it would kind of be neat, like, oh yeah, I can finally get this. But then I would think that after you have it, be like, whoa, okay, now what?
Yeah. Next thing you know, you got to get one in every color. And then you got, it's not enough.
Yeah. And you know, how many of one item do you need or?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to have a collection of cars, but then you got to take care of them, too.
Yeah. That's what my dad says. You just buy a used car lot.
Yeah.
You get to drive a different car every day. Now, they're not necessarily cars you want.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. Because it's one thing, I guess maybe, too, if you have that much money that you can have someone to take care of them for you.
Yeah.
But that even seems like a waste.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got 20 cars.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it's just that I don't really get the collector mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, even collecting cheap stuff, I have a bunch of guitars, but I don't really consider it a collection. There's no theme. There's no nothing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned collections, because I remember at, like, one point I was like, into collecting stuff. And, like, some of it was, like, Simpsons stuff. And But then after a while, I was like, what am I going to do with all this crap?
Yeah.
Because it just sits there, and, you know, you might look at it once, then it's like, all right. After that, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, I do understand, you know, it's almost like certainly playing Pokemon or something.
Yeah.
I can kind of see the appeal, but yeah, it's just not for me. I don't want to dedicate that much room in my house.
Then I start thinking about it more. It's like, well, then, you know, if you start collecting this stuff, eventually you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then people are just gonna throw it away anyway. No one wants it.
Yeah.
Unless,
well, maybe, it depends. If you die younger than all your friends,
yeah,
then your widow will have a really great resale market.
Yeah.
But younger people don't want the kind of stuff that we want. So you can't, if you can't sell it to people your own age because they're all dead, it's worthless.
Yeah, it's
like
just
all those cars, like from the 20s, 30s, and 40s that used to cost a fortune. They're still worth a lot of money, But yeah, they're not worth anywhere near what they used to be because the people that wanted those cars are dead.
It's kind of like with it's like albums are the same way, from like vinyl to like CDs and things like that. It's the same thing. It's like I have a whole bunch of those, and it's like, what am I gonna do with them? It's not like I'm breaking out and listening to them, because if I wanted that bag, you just look it up on Spotify, and it's just easier to do it that way.
Yeah.
So why keep it? It's just if all collection is eventually stuff to be thrown out by somebody else. So while you're being buried, all your stuff is being buried in a landfill.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Some of it's going to be incinerated.
Yeah, probably. We never know. They'll wind up in a horrible yard sale.
Yeah. 3 for $1.
Yeah, something that... So that's the funny thing. It's like, you know, there's always like somebody went through something to go through to get that piece of memorabilia so they can have it in their collection.
Yeah.
But then it eventually just winds up in a yard sale being sold for 20 cents.
Yeah. Well, one thing with collecting, I understand the getting aspect of it, the hunt, that kind of thing. But I just don't understand the keeping the stuff after you've bought it, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can understand wanting to own like this whole collection of something. I just can't understand, once I've collected it, why would I keep it?
Yeah.
Especially in these days when you can buy like an entire collection of almost anything on eBay.
Yeah. Yeah, like Laura has a cousin, and his partner is like really big into like those Funko Pops. And he has like this whole room that's just dedicated to all these Funko things. It's like it's so many. It's thousands. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's this whole room, and once again, you know, that means so much to him. But then eventually, you know, someone's gonna look at it like, why would anyone collect this?
Well, even something like albums and video games have resale value. I mean, are Funko's going to hold their value?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe, because eventually, you know, maybe it comes around like, oh, these are kish. I don't know. And then you got to cash in on it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they'll probably be the next hipster thing.
Yeah. These things do come and go, but...
Yeah. It's just things like that. It's like eventually, you know, people, and like the people that do collect that stuff, when you see them on like TV shows, like there's psychopaths that collect like all like Disney stuff and like all Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always like, oh, you know, this is so great. They never interview like the one person in their life. It's like, this guy's got a fucking mental problem. You can't see it. I mean, you're not here all the time. It's like, oh yeah, this looks great. It's from the 1950s, but he never sleeps and he just smokes cigarettes all the time. And he wants to talk about Coca-Cola enough already. They never interview those people.
Yeah.
And they should.
How about exotic pets?
No. I've never been into that. I don't like animals enough to do that.
Yeah.
I should clarify, though, because when I say that I don't like animals, some people automatically assume that, you know, I like killing animals just for fun. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't like taking care of animals. Because it's like I have myself to take care of. Why do I want to burden myself with more?
Mm-hmm. Well, especially the exotic pets that require like You've got to be really good to have something like a lion or a tiger or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's those people too that they almost run in the same circles, I guess. It's the people that collect those exotic animals, and then the people that just have a lot of animals in their house all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, their house is like a refugee refugee house of animals. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I was saying there. Oh, I remember. Yeah, what I was about to say is you have to find the right person in to be in a relationship like that. Because unless one of them is, I mean, I know a lot of those people are lonely, but there are couples like that. And I just wonder if it's always like they're both in on it, and or one's just along for the ride. It's like, goddamn, you know, another tiger in the house or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Laura knew somebody had like a, I guess it's an exotic, it's like some big lizard or something. But they didn't have like a cage for it. They had to keep it in their bathtub.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much work.
Yeah, giant Gila monster.
Yeah. I forget what it was, but it was huge and it had to stay in the tub. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's never been me. Mm-hmm. Doug had ferrets. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's the most exotic animal that I think I've been around that someone's had.
Yeah.
Well, then actually, Laura had a friend in high school that had a raccoon for a pet.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, nothing wild like that. You don't want to own a, like a snake or anything like that, Dave?
Nope.
Something where you have to feed animals to it, rats and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm happy with cats.
Yeah. That's a whole lifestyle. I think once you get into snakes and like all sorts of lizards, I think you're going into a whole nother lifestyle.
Didn't Doug have snakes, or was that his dad?
Oh, you know what? I think Doug had snakes, too.
Yeah, they were next to his Commodore 128, which he never used, and I tried to buy it off him, and he wouldn't buy it, or he wouldn't sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he may have had snakes.
Yeah, there were snakes in the house in a cage. I just don't know if they were his or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But the ferrets were a thing for a while. Mm-hmm. Then they had the dogs. But yeah, and other than that, I didn't know anyone else had any, like, weird animals.
Yeah. Well, I'm from West Virginia. All my relatives had weird animals.
Yeah.
Whether they were actually pets or what, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I see raccoons and things. The problem with raccoons is, yeah, they're great when they're little, but then they mature and they get wild and you can't keep them as pets anymore. But now they're too tame to really survive in the wild, and they're too wild to survive in captivity. So just shoot it. That thing's going to die a painful, slow death. You just let it go.
Did you say raccoon? Is that how you said it?
Yeah, raccoon.
Yeah. Is that like the proper way? Is that how you're actually supposed to say it?
You can pronounce it any way you want.
Yeah.
Raken.
Yeah. Trash panda. Yeah, so that's it for exotic pets, I think.
Okay. All right, that was the white elephant section.
Everyone's clamoring for white elephants.
Yep. All right, now I guess it's your topic, the Zoom anxiety.
Yeah, so apparently this is a thing. So now, because there's so much video conferencing going on, people are getting like Zoom fatigue, as this article called it, from National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed this one professor, and she was talking about how she's teaching, then she's doing these other Zoom meetings, then like Zoom parties, and she's just so tired of it, and it's like she's sleeping in the middle of the day now, and this is happening to other people. Like, they feel like it's too much pressure now to be on Zoom.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because, I mean, you can be bottomless if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Zoom for work, but we're never like under the obligation to get on camera.
Yeah.
So you can be on there as just audio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had a video conference. We share screens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, screen share makes sense. And, like, some people are using it a little more, I guess, because, you know, why not? I guess if you're having a meeting. But, like I said, it's never an obligation. And I've never been on any of these calls or even having, like, talking with family and stuff like that. I've never felt like, oh, I got to perform right now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the article kind of digs into. Like, I guess people feel like they're performing, or like they have to be a certain way, and it's freaking them out. It's like, really? This is freaking you out?
Mm-hmm.
I just find it odd that this is a somewhat thing.
Yeah, this is your trigger. All the things that are going on right now, and this is your trigger.
It's pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes me wonder if this is going to be one of those flash in the pan things, or is this going to enter the lexicon, you know?
Yeah.
Like social distancing. Are people going to remember that in 50 years?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I bet if things go all right, eventually it'll be a shirt after.
Yeah.
And I'll have, you know, you'll have those corny t-shirts like, social distance from me, or, dumb slogan they come up with.
Yeah, everyone in my family died of COVID-19, and all I got was this fucking social distancing t-shirt.
Yep. Well, you know that shirt's coming.
Oh, it's probably out there. I probably pre-ordered it without realizing it. It'll probably come for free with my next order from Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for the shirt. Like, you know, my wife doesn't have sex with me, but social distance.
Yeah.
I have to tell my dog.
You're what?
Yeah.
I think he said he's drowning his dog.
Damn animals.
Yeah, a bunch of savages.
Yeah, but it's like, shouldn't you get used to the video conference now? Because it doesn't seem like it's going away.
Yeah. I mean, some people, I guess this is kind of their trigger, their nightmare or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, how much of this is a real thing? How much of it is just people already had something like this and this is just kind of bringing it? And how much of it is National Geographic just having to fill pages?
Yeah. I think it's probably a little of both. It's
like, show more topless women.
Yeah. I know. You know, we don't want to hammer this too much, but actually I do. There now, another thing to talk about is, instead of like, focusing like so much on the negative. How about like, you know, like once we get through this or because of all this, is there anything that you're going to be happy to finally see go away?
And having like having to drive to work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're lucky that we both get to work at home.
Yeah. Even if only 10% of us can keep working from home, it's still going to be just that much less traffic, you know?
I know. That's good. I know. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind working from home. Even if I had to go in like once, maybe twice a week, I'd be all right with that. Even.
Yeah.
If they even let me... that'd be great. Mm-hmm. From what you like save on gas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, it's kind of ridiculous, but and it's so dumb. Receipts. Mm-hmm. What about receipts? Because don't you hate receipts?
I don't know. I've never really thought about them. I just kind of stuff them in my pocket and then throw them out.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's for one thing, it's such a waste of everyone. It's a waste of everything, of just the paper and the time that you take in your life. Just like, oh, I have a receipt.
Yeah.
Just so you can bring it back. I know, like I said, that one is like so small and dumb. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. What about, I know it won't go completely away, but do you think, this is almost like the final nail in the coffin of cash?
Yeah.
Is cash going to finally go away, possibly?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be around, I think, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But is this kind of like the end for it?
Yeah. I know, it's one thing that I've thought of is people are saying, oh, so much is going to change because of this. I think not really. I think it's just accelerating changes that were already in the pipeline. Like the death of small businesses, they were dying. This might be the thing that kills them off, but it's like they say about the dinosaurs. They were dying out left and right, and then they got hit with the meteor.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of the same thing, that an awful lot of things that were slowly dying out are just going to be absolutely dead. So like a lot, like I said, the brick and mortar stores.
I don't know if I'm completely sold on that.
Yeah.
Like with malls and stuff going away.
Yeah.
Because there are still there. Now, this might change that. I don't know. I mean, people do like going to malls as much, mm-hmm. or at least like the shopping experience.
Yeah.
People still like doing that because it's, you know, it's a whole experience. It's not just, well, I'm going to buy this. For a lot of people, it's like, oh, you know, this is a day for me. I'm going to go out
with
whoever, then shop and do whatever. So I don't think not necessarily. I don't think those go away completely or die. Yeah. I think it does look a lot different, even different than what it is now.
Yeah. But especially a lot of the small stores, independent retailers, you know, they were already struggling and are probably going to go under permanently because of this.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe cash. Well, I mean, with cash, hopefully we can do everything with our phone then.
Yeah.
Like have your license on your phone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you could, like, everywhere you go, if you could use your phone as a transaction somehow.
Yeah.
And have your ID and stuff on it.
I keep all that turned off on my phone. To me, that just seems like such an extreme security vulnerability. But then again, it's no worse than carrying around a bunch of cash.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you're on the grid, and you're screwed no matter what.
Yeah. How about traveler's checks? Do you think they're going to make a comeback?
Yeah. They might. Is travel going to make a comeback?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, how about do cruise ships finally go away?
I don't know. I think there's probably going to be a pretty big demand for them, I think, when this is over. Because a lot of people like to take cruises.
Yeah.
To me, they've never seemed very interesting. I guess because I'm not an alcoholic. I don't like to just eat.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be really into eating and not doing anything, I guess.
I could get into that.
Yeah. Because they do. I mean, it's all food and stuff. I mean, if you're into that.
Yeah. I would be fine if the cruise ship never even landed anywhere. I would just, the problem is I would need really good internet access. I mean, we could just go out into the harbor and just stay there for a week.
Well, how about those people, was that last cruise ship that just docked or something? They were like at sea for like 2 months or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like a long time. And it was several months. It was such a long time. And man, that had to be terrible when you originally went on that. Like, especially if you got like a 3-day cruise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do a 3-day cruise. I was like, no, you're going to be here for 3 months. That had to be terrible.
Yeah, Michelle keeps wanting to take a cruise. Maybe not now. I keep saying, it's like, why can't we take like a train cruise where you're on a train and you can get satellite internet the whole way? Or 3G internet most of the time.
Yeah. Dave, with the prices right now, you can't afford not to buy.
I'm thinking the market's going to go even lower. I think it's going to go a lot lower.
Soon they're going to be giving them away.
Yeah. Buy an entire cruise ship. I thought I bought a cruise, but it was an entire ship.
I could see that happening after this is over. Especially if one of those companies goes bankrupt, and that'd be great if some like just degenerate bought one and just, I don't know, made it like a floating hovel at sea.
Yeah. Or it would turn up on like ESPN like 4 or something, like cruise ship demolition derby. Up next, after the rollover competition, it's the cruise ship demolition derby.
Boom. See, and people would probably watch that too.
I would.
Because who doesn't want to see a cruise ship sink?
Yeah. I used to watch this one show with all these stupid car things. It was Lucas Oil on the Edge. They had like the wheel stand competition, the rollover competition, figure eight racing, school bus racing, combine demolition derby, which was like the farming implement. They were really slow and they were virtually indestructible. So eventually they just had to call it a draw.
Yeah, so hopefully receipts go away.
All right.
On to the next one.
All right, meltdowns.
Okay.
Just times when people melted down, or you melted down, or somebody else just got really angry and threw things. Any that you actually want to admit? Or are we going to talk about ourselves in the third person?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, I guess. I can't say that I've had, like, a real, like, true meltdown, I guess. I mean, I know I've gotten mad and thrown things.
Yeah.
At times. And probably hit things.
Mm-hmm. I tend to be explosive, and it's over.
Yeah.
I know my old garage was just like a pole barn, and it was basically the walls were just the metal siding on the outside. I threw a wrench through the wall. It tore a hole. It's a good wrench too. Fortunately, I found it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've hit doors and like kicked doors and stuff before.
Yeah. I rarely get upset when there's other people around.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think these were like in front of people, like Laura and stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. But
oh, yeah. Well, you know, significant others, family, that doesn't count.
It doesn't count when she's laying on the floor looking at you. That's the loving look, I guess. I don't know if I've ever, I'm trying to think if I've ever been around anyone's like completely melted down.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think I would remember something like that crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever seen anyone just like completely melt down?
Oh, my dad a few times.
Yeah.
The thing is, also with him, it'll be like he'll be angry and he'll stay angry. Whereas I get angry and then that's it.
Yeah.
Of course, he starts talking about his dad, who it was like an everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's a rush. You know, you don't think of it like that, but it is. It's addictive.
Yeah.
You know, that totally out of control. I'm going to break my own toys. I'm so frustrated.
Now, would your dad break stuff?
Other than like me, where he would just like throw something.
Yeah.
No. I forgot. Yeah, just this week, I had a light that was broken.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't. Like if you touched it just right, it would come on and stay on, and then it would, as soon as you needed it, it'd go off again. You'd have to gently touch it. It's like, all right, I can't deal with this anymore. And I threw it over towards the garbage can, but a bit harder than I needed to throw it. But I didn't haul off and pitch it overhand either. I just needed to toss it. I guess I tossed it kind of hard. So. Yeah. I guess that's the best way to put it. If I'd have thrown it overhand, I'd have been picking pieces of the damn thing up off of the floor. It already is broken because it got dropped a couple times.
Yeah, I know I definitely have kicked some stuff, especially like working on cars. And, you know, you have the wrench and you just bang your knuckles.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you've done if you've ever worked on a car.
Yeah.
And Christ, And it's always the worst too when it's cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always bad enough to do it, but then it's like a double kick in the nuts when it's cold on top of that.
Yeah. And how many times, the thing that always gets me is that I knew I could have just put a breaker bar on that. You know, there are times when you can't. And
yeah.
You know, you're just going to skin your knuckles. Just put on a glove. Take an ass. There is not enough room to get a breaker bar in here. This is the only wrench I can put on. When this breaks free, I'm going to hit something.
Yeah.
The times it really pisses me off is when I've got a wrench that's just a little too small and I could put the breaker bar on it and get some leverage, but no, I don't do it. It's like, oh, it's budging. then I hurt myself because it's my own stupid fault.
Yeah, cars are frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I find that, first of all, don't take on anything that's too long, and maybe work in stages. Like my dad said, the angriest he ever got working on a car is when it was his only car. And once he started taking it apart, if he needed another part, he'd have to go get a ride from somebody. Because how do you drive a car when you've got the carburetor taken off? You'd have to put it all back together and drive it to the auto parts store.
Yep.
And also, he needed to go to work. You know, it broke Tuesday on the way home from work. And now he's got to try to diagnose it while he's driving home, stop at the auto parts store and buy everything that might possibly be wrong with it and then start trying to fix it. So, you know, out there, it's like, hasn't eaten dinner. It's like way after dark and he's still working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still working on the timing chain on my HHR.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked on it. I've gotten pretty far. I've gotten everything apart now. I've got the chains exposed. And it turns out, at first when I pulled the valve cover, the timing chain was real tight. I'm like, oh, shit. Maybe after buying, like, you know, $300 and some worth of parts, maybe that's not what's wrong. But then I pulled the side engine cover and the other belt, the balance shaft belt or balance shaft chain is sitting there hanging loose, like, ding, ding, ding. It's like, okay, yeah. Yeah, so it was one of the chains.
Okay.
And I have the complete kit. It has everything. Both chains.
Yeah. Now you just got to do it, huh?
Yeah. I don't think I'll get to work on it this weekend. We're taking masks around.
Yeah. What, Shiva? Now the dog is looking at me.
Yeah,
looking at you. Food right here. What do you want?
It takes 4 days before an animal will start to eat you after you die. That's an average number, though.
Yeah. Yeah, only 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe it will be a sectional, huh?
What?
This.
Yeah, we've been talking maybe 40 minutes.
Should we leave it at that and not press our luck?
Yeah, I mean, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
I don't know. You know, it's like the longer this goes on, it's like, you know, I keep saying I'm going to do all this stuff, then it's like, maybe not.
I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. I had, I bought an acoustic guitar and I gave it a full setup and I'd never lowered the bridge on an acoustic before.
Yeah.
Because on an electric, it's anywhere from 2 to 12 screws and you've lowered the bridge. On an acoustic, you have to pull the fucking bone nut out or bone bridge out and then sand until your wrist gets tired, which that takes me a very long time, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And then you have to put it back in and remeasure and hope you did it right. And I got it. It's a little higher than I'd like it, but it's good enough. It's playable all the way up the neck now. The thing is, it's an acoustic guitar, but I put an electric set of strings on it. So it was probably set up properly for acoustic strings because they vibrate more.
Yeah.
So you need high action, but I just set it up like an electric guitar, real low action. Heck. And then I took my other guitar, my favorite one, the Red Viper. I cleaned it. I put a roller bridge on it, did a whole bunch of other stuff. Did a little bit of, I didn't dress the frets, but some of them were dirty and kind of corroded. So I cleaned all of those and polished them up, So that guitar plays fantastic now.
Yeah.
It's always been my favorite playing guitar, but if anything, it plays a little better. And I noticed the roller bridge on my other Viper pretty much stopped string breakage. So are you playing guitar at all?
Here and there, I mess around.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of writing. That's the biggest thing I've been doing.
Yeah, I wrote a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard this title before. Fucked at the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that you wrote a song called that?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it. So I guess I'm just taking all of your old song ideas and writing new songs. I don't think I'm going to write one based on big men, small boys, though.
I'm sure it'd be popular now.
Yeah.
It could be a dance hit, I'm certain.
Yeah, we'll get Gary Glitter to sing it.
Yeah. It's coming back, I tell you.
Yeah, I thought he was into small girls, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you have to get it exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to rush to correct you either. I mean, I'm sure somebody would.
Yeah.
I mean, people were mad that they used the Gary Glitter song in that movie Joker.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I wouldn't. Unless it was just the absolute best. Unless you were trying to create a mood. Like, you're trying to imply somebody was boned when they were a little kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the argument goes. It's like, well, people still listen to Michael Jackson albums. And
yeah. Yeah, the thing, I actually saw this guy on YouTube talking about that samurai guitarist. So, you know, here's the thing. First of all, what does the song mean to me? Was I really attached to the song before the allegations surfaced? And how bad are the allegations? You know?
Yeah, I think some of it depends on the song.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, if you're really into Morrissey and now he comes out as like some hardcore right winger, then, well, that's one thing. It certainly puts kind of a pall over a lot of the Smiths and Morrissey solo stuff, but I still listen to it, just not as much as I used to. I no longer really consider myself a fan. But then again, he was like really militant vegan before that, probably still is. So I lost a lot of shine from him from that.
Yeah.
Like I can, vegan, okay. Militant vegan, no.
Would have been great if he would have came out as a heterosexual now. Like, I decide I want to crush pussy now.
Yes.
That never happens, though. It has to happen. I'd love to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just into women now. Because it's always like, you know, into women, then into guys, bisexual, blah, blah. But no one ever hears reverse. I want to see it reverse.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who kind of go through phases. Like the one, Joe Gage is his porn name. And he did all these gay pornos, male gay pornos in the 70s and into the 80s. And then he married a woman and started a family and started doing like softcore, like male and female science fiction movies. I mean, it was science fiction, but it was like softcore porn.
Okay.
But it wasn't a softcore porno that had some sci-fi in it. It was a sci-fi movie that had some soft core in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was trying to be a legitimate film director.
Okay.
And then he got divorced and went back to basically making gay pornos. He said, like, why are you making gay pornos? It's like, well, I like them all. It's just the money came through for the gay porn. People expect me to do gay porno. It's, you know, I like everything.
Yeah, I mean, you do have, yeah, I mean, there's people that like that, but I'm saying there's, usually you don't get the classic case of that.
Yeah. Didn't Bowie say something like that, though? That all his life he was really kind of a closet heterosexual?
Yeah. I would say he was more bi than anything, though, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. But, like, later in life he was more and more and more with women.
Yeah.
So when he was younger, he was basically telling people that he was gay, even though he was really bi. And then later in his life, I don't know. I actually don't know that much about Bowie. I like his music.
Yeah. Isn't that enough?
All right, so I guess, well, we're definitely wrapping it up now.
let's wrap it up.
It's a short one.
Yeah. We can only ride it out so much, people.
Yeah. So when are we going to try to do this again? Another 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Four? Wait until we come up with ideas?
That's only been a week.
Oh, no, it was 10 days since I uploaded the last one.
Was it?
Yeah. So it's been almost, I uploaded it on a Monday.
I don't know. Well, we can try and do it again shortly.
Yeah.
Time almost seems irrelevant at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, people are listening to this, but, you know, to me, it's probably just an excuse to call somebody. Talk to someone other than Michelle.
Well, we'll try. We'll shoot for, can, you know, I think we should at least try for another week.
Yeah. Again, if we can come up with ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll make sure I'm better. I'll make sure I do better at it this week.
Yeah. Are you going to inject the bleach or whatever it is? Donald Trump's internal cleaning fluid.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
I can't, like, I honestly thought that came from The Onion or something.
I know, like a few, because I had told Laura about it this morning, and like I told her, it's like, you know, a few years ago, that would be something The Onion would put on as a headline.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. But then this is serious? It's like, what?
God. The old guy across the street took his Trump sign down.
Oh, yeah?
I keep thinking it's because he's going to put up an even bigger Trump 2020 sign, but because it's still basically the 2016 sign.
Yeah.
But, damn, I don't know. He hasn't put anything up. And why would you take the old one down before you put the new one up?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was nailed up there. It wasn't like it would have fallen or been torn. If someone tore it down, there'd be remnants of it. And he definitely would have had a huge Trump sign up there by now.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe people are finally saying, it's like, God damn it, I knew he was retarded. I was just not hoping it was true.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe the guy's like super Christian. So maybe he realized if these are the end times and Trump's not Jesus, then who is he? He'd have to be the Antichrist.
Good going, Christians. You got that one wrong.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up.
For the third time we've said that.
I know. Well, what else?
All right, so this was Mini Couch.
Yeah, Mini Couch. What?
It was for our exclusive on Patreon.
Yeah, this is our Patreon content.
I think I will just label it Couch 73. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter.
I just like numbering them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, I'm Ron.
I'm Dave.
All right, bye.
Bye.